Good morning and God bless you. Today we're going to get into a very special topic. It is the one truth that literally changes everything. And there is a phrase in Scripture that most Christians have read dozens of times, but they never truly understand it until someone shows them what it means. Paul, that was his biggest desire, was that we would understand what I'm about to share with you. And the Apostle Paul called this the greatest revelation ever given to the church. I would say that places quite a spotlight on this particular verse. And yet 2,000 years later, most believers are still treating this as a nice metaphor instead of a supernatural reality that changes everything about who you are and what you can do in this lifetime. And that amazing verse is in Colossians 1, verse 27, which says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the one truth that when you wrap your mind around that, you get it changes everything about your life for the better. Because when you get this, you would never question your authority again. You would never accept the limitations that religion has placed on you. Because once you understand what happened when Christ came to live in you, once you see what took place, once you fully comprehend as much as possible in your soul and in your spirit, that you have become one spirit with Christ, everything changes for the better. This is not just deeper theology. This is the foundation of your new identity in Christ. And yet hardly anybody understands this. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, we read, When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I think we have seen through thousands of pages of the Bible that God knows how to use vocabulary. And the revelation that was given to Paul, Christ, who is your life. Another translation is in the Passion Translation, same verse. And as Christ himself is seen with the eyes of your heart for who he really is, who you really are, will also be revealed. For you are now one with him in his glory. That when you understand Christ in you, you start to understand who you actually are. Until you understand that, honestly, you're like a six-cylinder car trying to run on five cylinders. You don't have the whole picture. And this is not Paul speaking poetically. He is simply declaring actual truth. The person we used to be before we got born again, it says in Romans that that person, that spirit, that old man spirit in you died with Christ. It was crucified with Christ and it was raised with Christ. You are now one with the Spirit of Christ, God and Christ in you, sometimes called the gift of Holy Spirit. And our job mentally is to put off the old man, the old ways of thinking about ourselves, about life, about our relationship with Christ. And our job is to put on this new information, the new man, again, created in righteousness and true holiness. Christ in you is not Christ with you. It's not Christ helping you. It's not Christ blessing you from afar. It is the spirit and nature of Christ actually living in you through your Holy Spirit that you got the day you were born again, so that you are united in spirit, making you a partaker of God's divine nature. 2 Peter 1:4, because God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. This is the reality of the new birth. And this is the only way we can be as he is in this world. When I started working this, there were dozens, if not 100 scriptures that pointed back to the reality of Christ in you. But because so many people have always taught, you know, don't get too proud, brother, don't get too puffed up, which is exactly what Satan wants you to think. He wants you to miss your identity and have an identity crisis. Because if God inspired Paul to say, this is the greatest mystery that you need to have understanding of, then it must be the most important part of Christianity, and yet most people ignore it. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:17, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Could you get any more plain than that? If you make a note to yourself, go back and read the whole chapter of John 17, the last prayer that Jesus had for his disciples and for us in the future. And that's exactly what that entire chapter is talking about. That Jesus said, as God was in him, they would be in us and we would be one. And that is the mystery that's been was hidden from ages and from generations. In Colossians 1:26, let's back up and look at the whole text here. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now, through the Apostle Paul getting revelation, is made manifest or evident to his saints. You're a saint. When you're born again, you're a saint. It has nothing to do with how holy your life is. You're called a saint because you're set apart from God by the new birth. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you wonder why the first century church took the word over the world in 3 years? Do you wonder why they walked in signs, miracles, and wonders? They were close enough to the time of the Messiah. John 17 would have been a reality that would have been passed on through the apostles to anybody who had ears to hear, or revealed by the Lord Jesus by revelation to his followers. They got the memo. That's what sets the book of Acts apart. It's the one book in the New Testament that really has more miracles than books in the Old Testament because they believed what they'd been given in Christ. And Paul called it a mystery not because it's confusing, but because it was hidden until God chose to reveal it. In Corinthians, it says that if the devil had known what God was going to do inside of his children, pouring himself, pouring his son, pouring spiritual power, along with eternal life into his children, he would never have crucified the Lord of glory, because when Jesus was personally present, he could only be one place at one time. But now Jesus can be every place there's a born-again believer if they know and apply the truth and understand it's Christ in them, the hope of glory. The power that was in Jesus is now in you. The life of Jesus is now in you. You've got eternal life. This truth is so valuable. When you read this, it's not written just to inform you, but to transform you. God created you for transformation. The Bible gives you information. The carnal Christian or the natural man reads the Bible and they say, oh, I can memorize a verse. It doesn't mean that much in their life. But the spiritually minded child of God will read this and begin to understand spiritual truths that can bring them to the place where John 14 says, Jesus said, the works that I do shall ye do also, and greater than these, because I go unto the Father. You know why? Because instead of one Christ, there are thousands of us. I hope there are millions of us. And this is available to every single born again child of God. But How shall they know without a teacher? And how shall they teach except they be sent? We have to be the ones that preach the gospel of peace. And to understand what I'm sharing to you today is not for the fully initiated. This is the foundation of how to walk with Christ. Now, mentally, we have to grow into this. It's all to do with the renewed mind, and that happens over a period of time, and that's how we mature in the Spirit. And Paul looked at it this way in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. Paul said, "My little children, over whom I travail in birth again." He was going through the pressure of like birth pains because they weren't getting the foundational memo of who they are in Christ. "I travail in birth," like going through pains of birth, "until what? Christ be formed in you." In your spirit, it's completely formed. In your heart, it's not. That's where the renewed mind comes in. And that, my friend, is what you were put on earth to receive. And most Christians are dipping it, having a little cup, having a drop here and there, and they're missing the whole loaf. Christ in you. Christ is your life. His Spirit is in you. God is in Christ. That makes you a partaker. It doesn't make you God. It makes you a partaker of their divine nature and their power. The average Christian, oh, they'll agree that Jesus died for their sins and that they're going to heaven someday. And that's all true. But friends, that is not the full picture of what happened when we got born again. When you received Jesus Christ, something happened in your spirit. It was called a recreated spirit, a created spirit, a brand new spirit. Peter called it a new genus, a new species of human beings. Christ himself came to live inside you. This is the, you know, we have a hard time wrapping our mind around this because we can only be at one place at one time, but God is everywhere present, and now everything in the universe has been delivered over to Jesus, delivered over to him. They can be anywhere they want to be. Even in his resurrected body, Jesus could appear in the middle of a locked room. I can't begin to explain Christ and his exalted position. I can only share with you the truth that the life that you now live in the flesh, Jesus is your actual life source. Source. If something could suck out your spirit, you'd just drop dead. Your life source is not your soul. Your life source is your spirit. Your soul is your thinking, choosing, subconscious, all that stuff. And the more we focus and meditate and talk about out loud, oh man, it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Jesus and I are one spirit. He prayed that as he and the Father are one, we would be one. I'm not trying to live for Christ. I'm trying to move out of the way and let Christ live through me. Wow, that's a 180 degree brain stretch. And so we begin to focus on a truth that Christ is in you, and then you form that reality by believing it in your mind until it sinks into your heart. If you think of a beautiful tree that's been planted on the inside of you, it comes up as a little seedling, and you have to water it, you have to tend it, you have to trim it so that it can produce fruit. You have to tend to your heart that same way, to cultivate what's already inside of you. Because like I said in Corinthians 6:17, but he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Not two spirits fellowshipping, but one spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, that whole chapter is talking about how to conduct your marriage. And the bottom line, the payoff, is towards the very end of the chapter where it talks about when you go into the covenant of marriage. I hate it when they call it the institution. That sounds like a jail cell. When you go into the covenant of marriage, just like it said in Genesis chapter 3, two will become one flesh. And that's even a mystery. We can't understand that with our finite mind. We take it on faith. But it says in that the following verse, right after it says, to become one flesh, this is a profound mystery because it's a supernatural truth that we have to learn to grasp with our natural mind in this world in which we live. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. That sentence used to drive me crazy. And when I got into this study and really started digging the scriptures, I mean deep, deep. What I saw in my heart was the parallel here on earth. The example is in a marriage, a man and a woman are supposed to become one flesh. They bond in that flesh. But in the marriage of the Lamb with his church, we become one spirit. Doesn't it even say in Corinthians that we are all one body and members in particular of the same body? And the head of every one of us is Christ. I speak concerning Christ in the church. And so even though these are, I think they're more difficult to understand because we grew up in Western culture and we do not think very spiritually in this culture at all. We think very carnally. People from the Mediterranean part of the world, from the Middle East, they would understand concepts like this almost immediately because they're much more spiritually minded. And so what we're talking about here today, friends, this is not fantasy. This is reality. Someone who really had a great handle on this truth was a man named E.W. Kenyon who passed away in 1937. And he said this, the new birth is not simply forgiveness of sins or a fresh start. It is the actual impartation of God's very nature into your spirit through Christ, who comes to live inside you. His life becomes your life. His nature becomes your nature. You're not just a forgiven sinner. You are a new creation with the life of God flowing through your spirit, which fills you from the top of your head to the tip of your toes. So this life of Christ dwells in every cell of your body. And until we get quiet and ask God to give us a heartfelt, deep understanding of these verses, they're very simple if you don't try to argue with them. You just take them at face value. And when it really starts to gel, like Jell-O, when it starts to solidify in your heart, that is when you will sense a transformation. And I'm telling you, when that day hits you, it will be like somebody lit you up like the 4th of July inside. You will feel it in your spirit because your understanding is reaching to new heights and reaching deeper depths of who you actually are in Jesus, through Jesus. Jesus now living through your body. That's why we call him Lord. He's the head. He's the master. We're not. We're the servants. And when you're born again in that instant, you actually are a new creation. Like it said, you don't get a little improvement. You don't tweak a few things. You are a new creation on the inside. Just like it says in Corinthians, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. That old dead you, the spirit of man, is gone. And the new is here. The new man. The hidden man of the heart. The Christ in you. Your spiritual nature. The person that you used to be died with Christ. And that's why Paul had that long chapter in Romans. The old man, the old part of me is dead. And yet somehow I keep wanting to go back and tie myself to that dead body. And that's where it says in Romans 8, all that great stuff about, hey, get into Christ. He set you free. You died with him. You were raised with him. You live with him inside you. You put on the new man that was created in righteousness and true holiness. And you know, you don't get that by banging your head into the wall and saying, God, give me this, give me that. You already have it. You have to do just the opposite. You have to get very peaceful. Focus on Jesus. And say, Lord Jesus, I believe what I heard here today. Help me with the eyes of my heart to be lit up with understanding so that I can comprehend with all saints what is the greatness of this mystery. So that I can have Christ living in my heart by faith. So that I can be deeply rooted and grounded in love. So that I can know the length, the depth, the breadth, and height. So that I can know the fullness of God. That depth is what we're talking about here today. This is a deep thing we're talking about, but it's not complicated if you will take God at His word. The words that Jesus spoke to us, they are spirit and they are life. And Paul said he got his revelation to write Colossians and Galatians by Jesus Christ. That's who gave Paul this message, Christ Himself. One of the greatest tragedies in the modern church is that believers don't know what they have, the inheritance in them, talked about in Ephesians chapter 1, the inheritance that God already placed in you, and who they really are in Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, we are made to sit together in the heavenlies with Christ. You can't become more one than that. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We're one mind with Christ when we turn to Him and tune to that station. That's where we want to direct our receiver. Sometimes our receiver is broken and all we're taking in is static from the pressure and the pleasure of this world. We're confused. We don't know how to treat something. But every time you step up and say, oh, I'm just so sick. I have this terrible disease and oh gosh, I just can't pay my, and I'll have no patience. What are you doing? You're hung by the tongue. You're saying that, yeah, you're speaking power into your life. You're just speaking demonic power into your life. Now, am I saying if you have a need, you don't come to someone to pray with you, but you come in a place of hope and knowing that Jesus has already given you what you need to fill that space through His death and resurrection. Look, God either, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and every single thing you need in this life on earth is going to be added to you. That is as simple as you can get it. God either lied or told the truth. And the way you seek first the kingdom of God is you focus on the Christ in you. And rather than you trying to live for Christ, you invite Him to live through you, which means you have to communicate with Him. The best time to do that is in the morning. Jesus, what can I do for you today? And then think about Him all throughout the day. And yet the church in general is usually begging God for strength, begging God for healing, begging God for money, begging God for peace, when God has already filled you with every bit of that. He has already given you the riches of the treasures of heaven. Is there anything He has not provided? No, zip, zero. And the point is, my friend, I have heard people pray, God, if it's your will, give me this blessing. But of course, God, if you don't, I'll just be the burdened Christian. I'll suffer for you. You have got Satan licking his lips and kicking his heels. And I know when people start living with Christ in them, because sadly, I was at my zenith of doing that in my mid-30s. And I mean, that was a decade where everything my hand touched turned to gold, turned to a blessing. And people accuse me all the time of wearing rose-colored glasses. And 2 weeks ago when I started to rework this stuff, I mean, I literally got on my knees in tears and wept that I had allowed my belief in the Word of God to become a broken cistern. And that so much of this truth I'm sharing with you today had become dim in my own life. Look, I'm the first person to share with you my experience, strength, and hope. So I am not reproving anybody. I'm trying to help everybody get back on the good foot. CBD, get back on the good foot. And I will tell you, just in these last 2 or 2.5 weeks, when I started really focusing on this, murmuring it throughout the day, focused on bringing my mind back to the treasure on the inside, I'm telling you, I have seen more miracles in the last 15 days than I have in the last 10 years. Literally. So let me just throw another thing in here. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 9, everybody knows Jesus was 40 days in the wilderness. He was tired. He was hungry. He was thirsty. He was at his weakest point. And boy, the old devil, he was licking his chops because he thought, man, just like I took Adam and Eve out, this guy, he's a human being. I'm going to break him down. He's tired. He's thirsty. His body's a wreck. You know, I'm gonna take him to the cleaners. And so old Satan, the serpent, the shiny one, remember, he always comes as an angel of light to the people who are trying to do it right. We don't go for the darkness. He just has to trick us out of our true identity. And I'm not going to take the time right now, but you can go back and read it. Three temptations, stones me made bread, you know, cast yourself down, I'll give you the worship of the world. All three of those temptations in Matthew 4, 1 through 9, the devil prefaced every temptation was, if thou be the Son of God. If thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son of God. That's so instructive because there were three different kinds of temptations, shiny objects that Satan was trying to lure Jesus in with. But the one thing that never changed that he emphasized and tried to pound into Jesus was, you're not really the Son of God anyway. Who do you think you are? Look, you're hungry, you're tired, you're emaciated. You've had no water for 40 days. Who do you think you are? You're just a broken man. And what did Jesus come back with every time? It is written, it is written, it is written. The complete opposite of Adam, who threw out God's love and the words that God had given him and folded like a cheap $2 suitcase. My point being, and the reason we're not reading all this, is because Satan's number one thing isn't even the pleasure and pressures of this world. It's your identity. He is, everybody who's ever experienced identity theft knows that it totally ruins their life. And it takes them a long, long time to get out of it, if ever, because of people who are working in demonic thoughts to steal, kill, and destroy, to ruin somebody else's life without giving it a second thought. And that is Satan's biggest weapon against you, against me, against every believer. He used it against Jesus, is identity theft. When you are so locked into Christ in you, You've murmured it in your heart. You're believing it. You're asking Jesus to open the eyes of your understanding. It's getting cemented that you begin to understand this is the real me. This is the real you. He can never tempt you with identity crisis after that. The spirit that we get is perfect. Our mind is still influenced by the degradation in this world, and we are the ones that have to speak this truth out loud, because those words that we speak according to God's word, guess what? They are spirit and they are life. When we speak the word over ourselves, we're building up our spirit and we're bringing more life, more energy into the life of the spirit within us. And so you just go, you know, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Christ moved in me the moment I was born again. So now Christ is living through you. And when you submit your will, submit yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due times. When you submit to their will, that's how you finish the job that Jesus started 2,000 years ago, bringing other souls home to God. Romans chapter 8, it says, if the spirit that raised Jesus up, which is God the Father, from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Again, codifying that our very life comes from God and Christ in us, comes from the Holy Spirit that moved inside of us. That spirit that was poured out on the day of Pentecost to the church, never revoked, never taken back. You know, that's how a lot of preachers, they cop out. They don't live this way. They don't live with Christ in them. They don't walk in signs, miracles, and wonders. They don't know how to cast out demons. They don't know how to get real answers to prayer from heaven. And because they don't understand this, they have the same cop out sentence. It's just like a rubber stamp. Oh, well, miracles went out with the apostles. Speaking in tongues went out with the apostles. Signs, miracles, and wonders went out with the apostles. No, my friend, they came in with the apostles, and God's not an Indian giver. He's not going to give the church today less than he gave the church back in the first century. The only difference is they had a closer proximity to the excitement of the resurrection. But people, you know what we have? We have all the church epistles. We have the entire Old Testament. We have James, John, Peter. We have Revelation. We have so much truth on your laptop, on your phone, at your fingertips. The scriptures at our fingertips. That there is no excuse for not getting a hold of this truth and guarding it with your life. When you get a hold of Christ in you, when you face a challenge in life, and it can be a big one. I mean, I've had a number of them in my life. I mean, the way I got healed of malignant cancer in my spine, that was such a terrible diagnosis that I had to be on an operating table within 6 days. That's how fast moving. It was the doctor's quote, I'm just quoting the doctor. This is the fastest moving melanoma known to man. My aunt had died of this. My mother had fought this on a lesser scale. And when I'm laying on the table and they told me I was filled with the most aggressive melanoma you can have, you know, I did a little twitch in my head and my parts of my body. And laying on that exam table, the first words I spoke to myself is, the first report is not the last report. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to live and not die. And I'm telling you, I held on to those confessions like a Texan on a pork chop. And here I am today. I did not even have to have chemo or radiation. And they cut me from one side of my body to the other. I have a scar that goes clean across my back. I was in surgery for over 90 minutes. I've never had a recurrence. I've never had to do chemo, never had to do radiation. I've had to deal with some other smaller ones on my skin, and I guess my head just wasn't there. It wasn't important enough. I don't know what my problem was, but it certainly wasn't God being absent. It was I needed to come back to those places with a laser focus like I did with my back, and I would have gotten the same result. If I miss a promise, it's me, oh God. I'm the one that took my eye off the ball. You know, you can play basketball, and if your eye is not on that ball at all times and you don't see that net somewhere in your vision and you miss it, whose fault is it? You took your eye off the ball, man. The Christian life, it's not about you trying to live for Christ. It's you getting in tune with Christ and let the peace of God, let the mind, let Christ live through your physical body. Because my friends, when we stop striving in our own strength and start yielding to the one who lives within us, everything changes for the better. You will speak his truth. You will have his compassion. You will demonstrate God's power. You will excel in his love towards other people. Not because you're trying harder, but because you have embraced the reality that Christ lives through you. What a blessing, what a privilege, what a gift. For those people that have all of this stuff, we've been given the fullness of God. He says he's given us every blessing. Every spiritual blessing is already ours, that everything we need in this life is already ours. You know, if you thought of that as a legal document, wouldn't you be stupid to go beg for a house that was already in your name and paid for? Wouldn't it be silly to beg somebody if you could have the bank account that God already set aside for you? Wouldn't it be sad to reject the healing that that Jesus paid for on the cross 2,000 years ago? By his stripes we are healed. And look, y'all know me enough. I have my own challenges. You know what? When things are going great, it's when I'm in that sweet spot. Just like every sport has a sweet spot. I don't care whether it's tennis or how you hold a football by the threads or how you handle a basketball. Every sport has a sweet spot. And when you're really believing the truth of Christ in you, guess what, baby? You're living from that sweet spot. You're living as a victor. You're living like an elite athlete of the Spirit. You're living your best life for God. And the bottom line is you got free will. Everybody has a choice. And you can believe man's opinion, or you can believe your own negative thoughts that come in so easily, but we don't have to keep them there. Or you can believe God's truth. But God's children were never put here to live as spiritual beggars and downtrodden people. We were lived to be more than a conqueror through Christ who lives within us. More than a conqueror through Christ who lives within us. All power on earth and heaven and earth were given unto him by the Father. So, okay, all power through the whole universe is now under Christ's feet. He conquered death, he conquered demons, he conquered everything. We're the ones that forget all of that's been conquered. And I'm taking a walk with Izzy the other day, and the Lord said to me, he just spoke to me when I'm working all this stuff. He said, Pego, if the church learned how to use 1% of the power that I talk about in Ephesians chapter 1, the power that raised my son from the dead, you guys could change the world overnight for the better. People are looking at a lot of what's going on in the practical and physical world right now, and I'm the first person to tell you, I used to think I had some of the answers. I'm realizing in my mind I have none of the answers. My part in helping my family, myself, my nation, the world, be the best version of itself is to keep speaking the truth. Keep speaking love. Keep speaking the power of Christ in you. Help people who are born again understand who they are and what they can do. And when we get that correct, it's always the spiritual that gets manifested into the physical and natural world. The spiritual world is much higher. The natural world is below that. The natural world is a reflection of what's happening in the spiritual world. There's either a bunch of people believing and fighting for freedom in Christ, or there are people that are getting sidetracked and distracted, or even worse, believers who are thinking negatively and don't even believe the promises. They're not adding anything to the victory. They're just like those troops that want to sit back and play cards while somebody else is on the front line. And the point is, living on the front line, yeah, you may take some more pot shots, but by the time you get to the front line in the Lord's army, honey, you have so learned how to use your armor. You have so learned how to use your power. You have so learned, like Sun Tzu, the art of spiritual warfare. That stuff just bounces off of you. It bounces off your armor. It bounces off your head. It bounces off your heart. Because like Psalm 91, you're covered up in angels. Yeah. So, all I got to say at this point, I've given you a great foundation, some great verses to start working for yourself, and then use some kind of research tool. There are so many dozens, if not over 100 verses, that really, if you look at them, they come back to Christ in you, the power that's in you since the day of Pentecost, since the day you got born again. And when you really get this, my friends, you will never question God's power that's living inside of you again. What would it change in your life if every time you came up against a problem, you knew that God already had the answer prepared for you before the foundation of the world, whether it was physical, mental, financial, relationships? How would your life change if you always trusted God? Well, that's why I'm teaching this today. Because Christ in you, the hope of glory, is not a nice metaphor. It's a supernatural reality that is the foundation for the baby Christian to grow from, to understand that Christ literally lives in you. You are a new creation. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for this incredible reality that we just rub it in by repetition, that Christ, who is our life, Christ lives in us, God and Christ in us, the hope of glory, just like John 17. I thank you, Father, for opening the eyes of every single person hearing this. Open the eyes of their heart that they may see you more clearly. And help us to stop striving and our own strength for anything and learn to draw from the life of Jesus that lives within our heart, in our spirit, in our body. Let this revelation we've talked about here today transform from the great mystery to the great truth in ourselves and how we live for you every single day. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, thank you, God. Thank you, thank you. Amen.